one time if we can learn about that song. A beautiful song. We've been looking at the theme of prayer and looking at a different part of the Bible from the Old Testament. Eventually, we will move to the New Testament at the end of this series. I'm preaching on a sermon on prayer. And today is a fourth time based on Hezekiah, which is a very interesting text. Our text is found in Isaiah chapter 38. We look at the book of Isaiah, month of December last year. We just came back here today, looking at the book of Isaiah 38. And before reading this wonderful text, let's pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing one more time at this very moment as we are ready to open the scripture, read this beautiful poem and hymn and praise and prayer of Hezekiah. Lord, would you please help us to open our hearts widely and to accept your teachings? Would you please bless me and bless my lips, put words, your words on my lips so that I can deliver your blessings and your teachings and your gospel of Jesus Christ to your people, even preaching to myself, so that we will be in your mercy and grace. We will experience your presence at this moment, Lord. Lord, bless us and help us to gladly joy and accept your word. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 38 from our Pew Bibles, page number 760 from the Old Testament. I try to read it from verse 1, but I will not do that because it's going to be a long reading. So I'm going to read verse 9 to 20. It is also a long text. But in my sermon, during my sermon, I will cover verse 1 and 2, 8, with, along with the 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings that Kathy sent you an email that we read all the text before coming today. This is the word of God, a writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. After he had been sick and he had recovered from his sickness, I said, in the middle of my days, I must depart. I'm consigned to the gates of the Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night you bring me to an end. I calmed myself until morning. Like a lion he breaks all my bones. From day to night you bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane I chirp. I mourn like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my pledge of safety. What shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I walk slowly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these in the life of my spirit, O restore me to health and make me live. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had a great bitterness. But in love you have delivered my life from the pit of the destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol does not thank you, death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness. The living, he thank you as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will play my music on stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord. This is the word of God. We know King Hezekiah, he's a famous king in the Bible, especially he's a king of Judah, the southern part. He became a king of Judah when he was 25 years old, which is very young, and he reigned Judah for 29. And we know that his father was Ahaz, an evil king. We looked at Isaiah chapter 7 about Ahaz and his action against God, and he denied God's sign. We will see that here today, Hezekiah accept asking God's sign. It's compared to his father. And in the Old Testament, Hezekiah is a really good king. The Old Testament describes him, especially in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, that maybe you read it during this week. The Old Testament describes him like that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I hope that God will describe you and me like that. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he trusted in the Lord. And there was none like him. It reminds us of when people pray, there is none like you. But the Bible says there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. Now, the best part of description is this, 2 Kings 18 and 7, the Lord was with him whenever he went. What a nice statement. The Lord was with him whenever he went. We all want what Hezekiah had. And God is with us in the Emmanuel. The God of Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ, is always with us. Now, the Chronicles has some different things. What King Hezekiah did for the Lord is written in Chronicles. That event in Chronicles and 2 Chronicles makes us really excited. If you read, seriously reading Chronicles 29 and 30, 31, you feel your heart is pumping really hard and excited. Because he called the Levites to purify the temple. Ahaz, his father, destroyed and bring all the idols, but he called the Levites to purify the temple, remove all the idols from the temple. Now, he also destroyed the bronze serpent. Ellen reminds me yesterday, I forgot to put it in here, so I decided to put it in here. And also demolished the pillars and the high places and altars throughout the land. He did a great job. Compared to our nation, no one is doing it at this moment. It's really sad. He invited all Israelites to join and come to Judah and Jerusalem, celebrating Passover in Jerusalem. The Bible says, after Solomon, nothing was like that. And basically we see he reformed everything. He reformed the nation and religion and worship. And even foreign policy. Interesting thing is, he made a tunnel. You know that story, a tunnel from the Gihon spring to Jerusalem to bring fresh water. From the historical record, that is 1,748 distance solid through the rock. I look at the picture, it was so amazing what he did. Now, when everything was looking so good, what he did is really great and awesome. Hezekiah ran into a few serious troubles that we're going to talk about today. The first one is Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, invaded Judah. And however, make it long story too short, God delivered Judah and Hezekiah from Assyria. Then Hezekiah became seriously ill and he was about to die. It was at the point of death. Isaiah brought a devastating news to him. So remember that why he has done great things. Now Isaiah brought him a devastating news in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1, that we didn't read it, but it's part of our text. Set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Just one word is so bad. I don't want to hear anybody saying to me, you shall die. But the Isaiah added one more. You shall not recover. Now, based on 2 Kings 20, verse 7, his disease was somehow connected with a skin disease, probably leprosy, or some scholars said bubonic plague. Now, we may wonder at this point, why him? Why Hezekiah? a righteous king, a good king, why he was about to die at this moment. Now, if we read Hezekiah's story from 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and we read it carefully, we can easily identify the reason. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25, Hezekiah's heart was proud. Now, although God told him here, and through the mouth of Isaiah, set your house in order, both means politically and spiritually, Hezekiah didn't want to set his house in order. But he didn't have a son to pass down his kingdom who will be king of his nation, because his son Manasseh was not born yet at that moment. But interesting thing is this, when the prophet Isaiah brought the sad news to this king, usually when, let's think this way, when prophets brought kind of sad news to the kings, they usually ask the prophets to pray for them, pray for me, and or they curse the prophets. But here Hezekiah, his action is a little bit different. He didn't ask Isaiah to pray for him. He called him, brother, would you please pray for me and do something? Or he didn't argue with the prophet and Isaiah. Only one thing he did when he heard, when he encountered the death sentence from God, only one thing he did, he prayed to God. Verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to God. It's a typical people's reaction, turned their faces to the wall. Now Hezekiah went into his room, not the sanctuary at this moment, went into room in his room and turned his face to the wall. As I mentioned, it was an action of showing his grief and his sadness and struggling, agonizing heart before God. And his heart was completely torn by the news and devastated by the message that Isaiah brought. In his distress, no one can explain what he got. In his distress, he came. Simply came to the Lord. And in our text it said he wept bitterly. And asking God's mercy and grace for his life. Now although in our text he mentioned that what he did for the Lord in his prayer. He said three things. His faithfulness to God. And his whole heart to God. And he has done what is good in God's eyes. But we have to remember that he never asked God's grace based on what he did. Based on his merit. God, this is what I did. What I did. So would you please help me? No, he didn't pray like that. Rather, he asked God's mercy and grace first. And then to remember what he has done for God. He did not argue with God. But he wept bitterly before God. Now, we are very surprised when we read a text that immediately God answered his prayer. Isaiah chapter 38 verse 5. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. Then our text says why God answered his prayer. That is very important. Chapter 38 verse 5. Because I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. God didn't say because of your works and your deeds, but I have seen your prayer. I have your tears. I have heard your prayer. What God has said to Hezekiah brings tears to our eyes today as well, because God will hear. God is listening to our prayers, and God has seen our tears. When you pray. Then God showed him an unusual and impossible sign. God completely stopped the solar system. In the Old Testament, only the second time it's happening. And God made a sun backward 10 steps. We don't know how far, how much. We don't understand, but 10 steps according to our text. Now, Isaiah chapter 38 is very special to you and me. The reason is that it records Hezekiah's extended prayer from verses 9 to 12. Everything that I told you from up to this moment is same thing in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. We can read his stories. But verses 9 and 20, 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles don't have his prayer. That's why Isaiah chapter 38 is very special to us. Now here, Hezekiah wrote this particular hymn or prayer or poem. It says, verse 9, after he had been sick, and also he had recovered from his sickness. Is that interesting? His prayer that we are about to read and study, it was written both during and after his illness. In his prayer, we will see the stories of his distress and sadness and also recovery and his praise to God. And his prayer is a good model to you and me and teaching us how to pray when we face difficult things, when our hearts are devastated by some unexpected news around us. So we're going to look at these verses 9 to 20 little by little. I divided this text like a verse 10 and 13 as like a lament. He's saying, crying before God. Verse 14 is like a petition. And verse 15 is his commitment. Now 16 to 20 is confession of his faith. Try to combine all these things thematically and integrating his teaching, all this subdivision of a prayer. That's my intention today. It was really hard. Now first part is lament, looking at verse 10 through 13. And Hezekiah's prayer begins with his lament in verse 10. Now look at all the words and his expressions that he used, those things, and tells us how much he was in suffer and agonizing with his illness. Now we can read his anguished and this depressed heart from verses 10 to 13, especially verse 9. He talks about his future death in his prayer. He said, in the middle of my days, I must depart. If you want to share with his feeling, that's really sad. In the middle of my days, I must depart. If you want to talk these things to your children, they will cry. In the middle of my days, I must depart. He was in his prime age at the time, at 39 years old. But he was about to die, leaving everything behind. Everything, what he had. Even he didn't know about the future of his nation. Once he got this news, he see that there's no hope because he didn't have any son at the time. There was nothing he could do. But only one thing he could do was waiting for dying. In verse 10, I'm consigned to the gates of the Sheol for the rest of my years. That's another depressing expression. We know that he must have felt that he was sitting in front of the gate of the death coming. There's nothing he could do since he heard a death sentence from the prophet Isaiah. There's nothing he could do, just waiting for dying. Now his broken heart is more intensified and vividly described in verse 12 and 13. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Another way to express his death coming. His spirit will leave his body soon. What he said is about to die. But interesting thing is, he's not only saying about dying and death, the negative things. He also confessed that it was death and everything what happened to him, it was God's decision. Verse 12, that's an interesting verse. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. And later on he said, you, which means God, bring me to an end. He's recognized, it's not a complaining about his situation. It's recognizing the sovereign God in his life. He confessed that God is the one who gives life and death. So he has a right to give to us. He has a right to take it from us. Now your scholars agree that Hezekiah is trying to repent of his sin of a pride in verse 12 and 13. He recognized that everything is not his, not his power, but everything is from God and the sovereign God. He recognized the sovereign God and the mighty God, his deed. So he humbled himself before God and prayed, verse 13, I calm myself until morning. Isn't that awesome how he moves his prayer? He thought everything was great. He was doing great. Yet finally he realized that everything was not great, but his pride was there. His pride brought him God's anger and judgment upon him. His pride caused him great pain. That's why he said in verse 13, like a lion, God breaks all my bones. And you bring me to an end. In 2 Chronicles 32 and 35, but Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. From 9 to 13, basically he is saying like this, Lord, now I realize that my life is over. Because of my pride, you brought me death. So now here I'm humbled myself before you. I'm praying to you. And an interesting thing is about, it is found in verse 11 again. Yes, Hezekiah was severely depressed by hearing that sentence. Yet the most reason that his heart was troubled was not he's going to die. Verse 11. His heart was troubled. Why? I said, I shall not see the Lord. Reading this part is awesome. It means, when I die, I could not worship you, Lord, at the temple. That sense, I said, I shall not see the Lord. His heart was seriously troubled because he will no longer worship God. He shall not see the Lord in his presence. That caused him sorrow. Somehow we see Hezekiah's humble and his piety, his humble desire of God's presence in his life. Basically, he's saying that, yes, I cannot escape from you, your sentence, your curse. I will surely die as you mentioned, but my heart is really sad. Because I cannot worship you, Lord. The most disturbing truth is not worshiping God. From the beginning, he came up to this part. And then verse 14, he begins starting petition and prayer of petition. So Hezekiah here began asking God's help in verse 14. And he said, oh Lord, this is my heart. I'm oppressed. Be my pledge of safety. We understand that the death sentence truly crushed him so hard. So he expressed that he was like a bird, like a swallow and or crane or chirp. I mourn like a dove. That means he didn't have any energy, any power to pray, cry aloud. His voice was getting weaker every moment. So he is making barely sound like a bird is singing. Here he confessed that he didn't stop asking God's help in verse 14. My eyes are weary with the looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my pledge of safety. Verse 14 is actually a turning point of his prayer. As we look at today. You know, verse 5 says, God has heard his prayer. God has seen his tears. So Isaiah came back to Hezekiah and his prayer, and came back to Hezekiah to deliver the word of God and his God's promise of healing King Hezekiah. He will be healed 4 or 3 days later. So God immediately answered him. Immediately answered him. And Hezekiah confessed that here, verse 14. For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. Just one verse ago, he said, my eyes weary with looking upward, and Lord, I am oppressed. He's crying like a little tiny bird. Now, verse 15, he heard God's answer. He has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. He thought he would die. God brought him the death sentence because of his pride. But here he praised the Lord. He heard, God heard his prayer, prayer of repentance. God has seen his tears. God answered his prayer. Now, his reaction to God's answer was speechless. When Isaiah delivered God's healing promise in verse 15, he said, what shall I say? Isn't it awesome to read his prayer? What shall I say? God answered my prayer. God brought me complete healing. God has not abandoned me yet. I thought there was no hope in my life, but now I see that God brought me the true hope. I didn't have any energy to pray, say any word before, but now God gave me joy and strength again. I can praise Him again. But there's nothing I can say. What shall I say? In verse 16, Hezekiah proclaimed why God has brought him healing, what God has done for him. In verse 17, in love, you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast my sins behind your back. Once again, Hezekiah confessed that it's not based on his job, what he has done, but with God's grace, God healed Hezekiah. With God's grace, God forgave Hezekiah's sins. You have cast all my sins behind your back. So therefore, there is nothing he could say before God's immeasurable grace. Hearing God's answer and God's mercy and God's grace, he say, what shall I say? Now, Hezekiah's prayer reminds you and me of what Paul said, Romans 7:24, wretched man that I am. The wretched means a miserable man. Who will deliver me from this body of death? We are horrible sinners. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did great things. He forgave our sins. In 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Somehow we relate to his Gaia's prayer. We are the horrible sinners in the world. But as God forgave his sins, God forgives our sins. We are the foremost sinners. We deserve nothing but God's judgment, like Hezekiah. As Hezekiah said, we must depart somehow for our sins. The wage of sin is surely death, Romans 6:23. But Romans 5 said, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful verse is getting together with Christ. We can read, we can see our Lord Jesus Christ and his mighty work in the life of Hezekiah. Our sins are great, but God's grace is greater than our sins. God has delivered our lives from the pit of destruction. And in His love, God has cast all our sins behind His back in Christ. In His love and grace, God forgave our sins in Christ. So there is one answer for that. What shall we say? What shall we say before God's love and grace? Once we realized the greatness of God's love and grace, what shall we say? Who can ever be against us? Hezekiah's response to God's healing is also found in verse 15. He said, I walk slowly, O my ears, because of the bitterness of my soul. Here, Hezekiah used a special verb form in verse 15, walk slowly. That's one word in Hebrew language. He used and he picked this particular verb and word to intensify his commitment to the Lord. So he went through everything. Hearing that sentence, he cried, he said, really sad, and he praised the Lord, and he heard God's answer. Now he is committing himself. I walk slowly all my years. No more walking fast with his own desires or pride, but walking slowly with God and his teaching and his law. Hezekiah realized that God was the one who gave him life and death. God is the one who will give him the new life. Therefore, he committed himself not to waste his life anymore. Not just going fast as he can do, but by walking slowly. That's great teaching from his prayer. Thinking of ourselves before God, how about you and me? Do we walk slowly with God up to this moment? Or somehow we go ahead of God? How about this question? Do we really believe the sovereign God, the Almighty God? Who gives us life and death, who gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to give us new life, eternal life. Do we really believe that? Then we go fast sometimes. Hezekiah's prayer is really awesome. We learn so many things. Maybe we have to spend hours to talk about his prayer, but Hezekiah's prayer teaches us of our spiritual attitude toward God. Somehow we are so busy living in this world. We are so quick to act. Maybe we act first and we talk God later. We want God to follow our decisions, our thoughts. We want God to support us. Once we hear bad news, something happened to our lives, we're ready to complain. We're ready to argue. We're ready to doubt that God is not with us. But Hezekiah had that same moment. Who's going to handle with the death sentence? You're going to die. Not just only one time, but you will not recover. That's cursing. Who's going to handle with that cursing? But he came to God. He turned his face to the wall. And he prayed. Hezekiah's teaching, his prayer is teaching us about prayer. We need to pray. We need to bring ourselves to God in whatever situation we face today. Even if we hear a death sentence, even if death is waiting for us, that is really hard, but that is true. We need to pray. Do not go ahead of God, but we need to walk slowly with God. And prayer will help us to slow down. If we don't pray, we go so fast. With our prayer, What will calm down? As Hezekiah said, I calm down myself before God in the morning and try to find out God's will for us, not our wills and plan for us, but finding God's wills and plans for us. The beauty of reading Hezekiah's prayer is found in verse 16. He confirms his faith in God. In verse 16, he said, O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. He's kind of declaring his faith. Now the new life has given to him, not based on his deeds and merits, but by these things means, like a verse 15, what God has spoken to him, which means God's word, what God has done for him, God's complete healing. So with these things, man live. With God's words, with God's healing power, I will live. With God's grace, I will live. With God's mercy and love, I will live. By these things men live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. That should be our confession. With his faith in God's grace, now Hezekiah once again proclaimed his faith and said in verse 16 now, he's declaring now, restore me to health and make me live. Now we see Hezekiah's spiritual journey up to here. He didn't say up to here. He prayed everything. Now he's declaring an imperative word here. Restore me to health and make me live. Literal translation is, you will cause me to be healthy and strong. My God, your sovereign God, you will cause me to be healthy and strong. You will cause me live. We see how Hezekiah was changed. He started his prayer with despair and sorrow, discouraging. There is no hope. But in the middle of his prayer, God came with his grace, with his words and promise. Now his spirit is filled with joy and promise and confidence and hope. And verse 20, he said, the Lord will save me. Once again, you will cause me saved. And we will play my music on string, the instrument, all the day of my lives, our lives at the house of the Lord. You know, we just read of verse 9 to 20, but it's really awesome how he changed everything. The Lord will save me, and I will play my instrument on string, the instruments, all my days of our lives. Brothers and sisters, in the middle of our days, somehow we will meet, we will encounter all kinds of unexpected things that we don't like to have here. Things that related to our health. Things that related to our relationship to one another. Things that related to our faith as well. Sometimes we wonder, where is God, Lord? We doubt God's existence. Maybe we feel today like Hezekiah, sitting at the gates of the death for the rest of our lives. There's no hope at all. Then what shall we do? What shall we do right now? We turn our face to God and pray. Don't get me wrong. God's answer to our prayer would be different than that of his answer to Hezekiah, restoring his health and blessing Judah and his kingdom through his kingship. It will be different, but through our prayer, we will meet our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God who will give us life and death, eternal life. Through our prayer, we can cry to the Lord. We can ask for his help. Through our prayer, we humble ourselves before God. We confess our sins, our pride. Through our prayer, we examine our prideful hearts again and again. Oh Lord, I am so sorry. I'm the worst sinner of the world. Through our prayer, we reassure God's love and grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're holding our Lord Jesus Christ and we pray, Lord, we believe, we trust in you. Through our prayer, we know, we learn how to walk slowly with God. What have you in your mind today? Worrying about something, worrying about your sins, worrying about your life, planning for your future, planning for your next day. Maybe you're depressed due to your unwanted circumstances you have right now. From Hezekiah's prayer, we can learn something. Calm down. Calm yourself before God. Come to Christ. Spend time with Him. Open your heart to Christ. And pour your heart to Christ. And remember that He is listening to our prayer. And Hezekiah said in verse 7, Behold, it was for my welfare. He didn't know that, but now he knows. It was my welfare that I had a great bitterness. Isn't that awesome? What we have right now, maybe we're struggling with something. It will turn to different things. Bring it to the Lord. And believe that it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness. This is time to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Hezekiah's prayer. It's awesome to see how much he humbled himself before you, that we have learned so many things. Well, Lord, when we pray, we still be prideful and we are bragging about our deeds and merits. Lord, forgive us. And as Hezekiah prayed, Lord, we want to confess our sins before you. We want to praise your grace and mercy. And as Hezekiah said, and we want to confess that you are the one who will bring us life and death. Lord, help us. Help our congregation. Help New Hope people. Don't go fast, but walk slowly with you. And pray together with the small group members. Pray together with the brothers and sisters. Praying for our church. Praying for Pastor Perry. Praying for Chip Payne. Praying for our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to do that. So that we will see greatness coming. We will see your mighty hands. Lord, bless us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.